I think we're definitely, I think, world leaders in terms of trying to standardize the process. I think we've done really well through our suite of documents to be able to try and standardize our approach. I don't think many other nations have done that as well as we have. But in terms of international leaders, I think definitely it would either be the Koreans or the Scandinavians. I mean, to try and put it into context, when Steen Senneson from the Building Smart Norway presented at the Building Smart International Summit, he spoke about their BIM toolkit, which is kind of a, it populates itself when you do a bunch of tick boxes into a sort of a BIM implementation guide, all based on mini processes held in a database. And the entire crowd was kind of just stunned into silence by this kind of really kind of incredible, easy to use, automatically generating BIM guidebook that they just kind of casually showed to us that they've been working on. And I think work like that, I think, is fantastic. And I agree with what you're saying, the idea that there should be a lot more onus on what's happening internationally. I've always been a firm believer that if everyone has their own standards, we haven't really got a standard. So being able to do a lot of work through BIM Smart, which is a lot of the work that's happening through the summit and with BIM Prospects, I think is definitely the way to go to make sure that we aren't reinventing the wheel everywhere and that there's consistency internationally when it comes to BIM.
I like how Norway casually dropped that massive bomb of just like, there you go, this is what we've been doing. Soak it all in, guys. Maybe we can learn because the toolkit's getting some, toolkit is getting some really good press and really some positive praise. And I know MBS are really taking on board everyone's comments. So it seems as though if things are not quite where they need to be at the moment, they are really working hard. So, addressing that. So we're doing well. We're doing good. Now, Dan, before the quick fire crunch time questions come flying your way, we need to obviously talk about a bit more about your work at the BRE. You are a BIM consulting slash training manager, a nice long role. You're clearly very busy. And can you explain a little more about the training that the BRE do?
For a start, on the background of it, all the training that we do at BRE is handled through our academy, the BRE Academy, and they actually do kind of a wealth of training. It goes from, everything from BIM in it is I help develop and deliver the training courses that we have on BIM. One of them example is the one we mentioned earlier, which is the BIM AP, and I helped deliver that one for us, and that's probably the one I've got the most experience doing. And to be honest, there's actually a very wide kind of range of ages and people who attend it. I recently delivered one in Swansea, and we had people from kind of sprinkler fitters who were probably kind of in their early 20s, when I was trying to learn about it, up to we had sort of like people in their kind of 40s and 50s who were kind of senior designers, and I think others from kind of the legal aspect and different pieces as well. So there are people from different disciplines and all kind of walks of life and all ages who are coming to attend these schemes. But it's not just training that we do. We also do other things as well. As you said in my title, there's consulting as well, and we do a bit of BIM consultancy. So any kind of advice and support that we can give people, we do that. We also audit individuals and businesses on our certification schemes as well. So more or less between those three categories, training, consultancy, and certification, we keep ourselves quite busy in all things BIM.
Someone else who's very busy, like yourself, is Nick Tune. He recently announced his departure from BRE to join CoreBuilder as their UK CEO. So there's a bit of a shake-up going on in regards to your company. What was it like working with him? Because he's the director of Building Smart UK, so he's obviously got a lot of industry knowledge outside of the company. What does the rest of 2015 look like for the BRE?
Well, it's going to be a real shame to lose him, to be honest. I don't think I've ever met anyone who has kind of as much kind of energy as Nick has. He's forever kind of floating about, and he's at least juggling about 12 things at once. So I seem to be very impressed in the way he's able to do everything and kind of be on top of everything as well. So it's very impressive. I'm pretty sure I looked once at his inbox, and he had about 6,000 unread messages. So he's obviously a very busy man, and but he manages to get through everything, and everything gets sorted. So I've nothing but admiration for it. In terms of what's happening at the BRE, the rest of 2015 looks quite bright. Our certification scheme is quickly gaining momentum. We've probably got maybe 50 or 60 different organisations who are currently filling in application forms and slowly getting themselves ready to be certified. We consistently have full houses for our training key schemes, things like the BIM Accredited Professional, and there's also a steady stream of consultation going through as well, and we're also bidding on a few European projects. So we're going to still be pretty busy through 2015, so you'll probably be hearing a lot from us, but it's certainly looking quite bright for us at the moment, so I'm glad to be busy as opposed to being sat here twiddling my thumbs.
Well, yes, you are busy, although you still do have time to be interviewed by me and join the BIM 2050 group, so yes, you're very, very busy, got a lot of projects on. But before I let you get back to those said projects, it's time for the quickfire element of Crunch Time, where we've got to know you professionally, it's time to get to know you a little bit more personally as well, put some characteristics behind the name on Twitter. So, Dan, if you are ready, I have my timer ready, and the Crunch Time questions are also ready to go. So, are you ready?
Yes.
It's Crunch Time. Which three celebrities, alive or dead, would you invite to a dinner party and why?
I would probably invite Nikola Tesla, Hayao Miyazaki, and Kim.com. Very briefly, Tesla, because obviously he did a lot of great work with electricity, and you know, he had this whole kind of big open idea of making free electricity for everyone. So if anything, I'd like to steal some ideas of him, off him, and become a very rich man. Hayao Miyazaki, if you don't know, was effectively the Walt Disney of Japan, and he was the one who did a lot of the producing and directing for Studio Ghibli films, and I watch a hideous amount of Japanese animation, so I'd love to sit down and speak to him. And Kim.com, being the man behind Mega Video, I think there'd be great conversations there, but I don't think it'd last long, so I'm sure there'd be an illegal raid on our dinner party.
Fair enough. I don't have a lot of background knowledge about Tesla, but Bowie played him great in that Christopher Nolan film whose name has left me. If you haven't seen it, I would definitely recommend it. Now, who was your role model?
I'll be honest, I don't think I have a role model. I've never really been the kind of person to be awestruck by someone. I just kind of sit there and do my own thing.
Fair enough. you're going on down your own path. There's nothing wrong with that.
Paul Oakley is looking at me and shaking his fist, so stop me from being seriously injured. I'm gonna...
Right, well, we'll move on. If you were to leave BIM behind and backpack across the world, which two members of the UK BIM crew would you take with you and why? Possibly Paul, I guess.
For security reasons, I probably wouldn't take Paul, but I think I'd take Henry. As a landscape architect, I'm sure he'd be able to help find edible plants and fruit between cities, so I think he'd be a very practical choice. I'd also probably take Dwight with me. After the first time I met him, he showed off this fancy app that would scan business cards and link straight to LinkedIn. So I imagine on his phone, he's got a series of Swiss Army knife-style apps that would come in handy in any situation.
Boom, I like the idea of that. Now, what is your claim to fame?
Well, I actually used to be a competitive swimmer. I was pretty fast at the old 200 butterfly. I could do, what was it, 4 Olympic lengths of the pool in just over 2 minutes and 14 seconds. But my real niche claim to fame was that I tried to get a Guinness World Record when I was younger for the heaviest squat while standing on one of those inflatable gym balls. Sadly, when I contacted Guinness World Records, they wouldn't acknowledge it, but I thought I had a pretty good go at it, and it was fairly dangerous at times, but I could do it.
How rude. Well, we've got time for one last question. And as a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, to be honest, I wanted to be an architect. I love science, IT, and as I kind of got a bit older, I really enjoyed drawing. So I kind of sat there and I kind of went, well, if I put all these together, what do I get? At the time, I applied for Cardiff University to go to their Welsh School of Architecture. But unfortunately, during my sixth form, I spent a bit much time playing card games and not enough time revising. So I was actually quite shocked when I didn't get the grades I needed. However, I feel like in the end, I ended up on the right path because I trained as an architectural technologist, and I feel like I'm definitely more science than art. And if you've been paying attention to Twitter recently, this week, I actually got chartered by them as well. So I think that was probably the best choice I made, was not revising and spending my time playing Hearts and Spades in the common room instead.
Well, anyone listening, any young people, do revise, but we know we'll definitely put that across. But Dan, it's been absolutely fantastic speaking to you today. Before you go, where can people get involved with you on LinkedIn, Twitter, on social media if they want to have a bit of a chat and to get your chin wagging about BIM?
Generally, the easiest one is probably Twitter, which I'm drossiter87. People are more than welcome to add me ask all good questions, and or you know, I prefer easy questions, to be honest. But they're welcome to do that. And I think it's quite easy to find me on LinkedIn. You just put down Dan Rossiter. I'm sure that Jack would be kind enough to put a link to some of these at the bottom of the article when it goes on the site as well. So I think with all that together, I think it'd be quite easy for anyone who wants to get involved and contact me to do so, because I'm quite open and friendly. I won't bite. So if you have anything you want to chat about, feel free.
Yeah, he won't bite, but he might ask you to play a game of spades. So, Dan, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time today. And Boom Crunch listeners, the next edition of Crunch Time will be here in 2 weeks' time. So until then, hope you have a great day.